myself forward. Yeah, pulling myself forward. And,
yeah.
Oh my goodness. Okay, it looks like we had started the recording, so I'm going to call this meeting to order. My name is Julia Johnson. I am Mayor Cedra Woolley. Today is July 27th, and will you all stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance with me, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Just a real quick roll call, and I'll start down with you, Councilman Owen.
Present.
Councilman McGoffin.
Present.
Councilwoman Diamond.
Present.
Councilman Burns.
Present.
Councilwoman Kesty.
Present.
Councilman Allen.
Present.
And Councilman Lavaca.
Present.
Thank you, everyone. Good to have you here tonight. I'm looking for an approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
Madam Mayor, I make a motion we approve the agenda.
Thank you.
I'll second.
Thank you. So we have a motion by Councilman Owen, second by Councilman Burns. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Moving on to the consent agenda, items 1 through 3. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Madam Mayor, I'll second that.
Second.
Thank you. I have a motion by Councilman McGoffin, seconded by Councilwoman Diamond. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Carries. Thank you. Okay. Well, we have a treat tonight because we have Jennifer Johnson here, who was just took on a new position at the county. And I want to extend our congratulations. You are now the Deputy County Administrator. When do you take that role? On Monday. Wow. Well, congratulations, Jennifer. Yeah, I worked with you. It's well deserved. Yeah. Yeah. So Jennifer is here to actually share with us the North Star Project, which the mayors and the county have been meeting and discussing for a couple months now, more than a couple months, actually. So Jennifer, I'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Oh, and thank you. Whoever magically is working behind me.
That's Bill.
Thank you so much.
That's Bill.
All right. Thank you so much for having me here tonight. And as you know, Mayor said, we're really excited about this project. But more
important, is the microphone on? I'm sorry. I don't mic's on.
Thank you. I apologize. Anyways, thank you for having me here. We're very excited about the project, but what we're most excited about is the collaboration of the mayors and the county commissioners and public health. You know, behavioral health and homelessness has been challenging issues in our community for many years. It, of course, has worsened in the last 5 years and especially due to COVID. But it is definitely, you know, and it's something we've all tried to tackle in little, not in our silos, but to the best of our ability with the resources that we've had. And it's really clear we're not making real significant headway. And so it's definitely going to take the political will. It's going to take the collaboration of our electeds and of our community. So just thank you so much. That part's wonderful. And I just appreciate you, Mayor, for your participation, your expertise, and your collaboration on the project. So, you know, as I just said, you know, homelessness and behavioral health have been important issues in our community for some time, but the impact from the COVID-19 pandemic has definitely exacerbated these challenges, creating, really significant issues in our community. We've heard, you know, strong interest from the mayors and all three commissioners that they would like to have a clear overall picture of funding streams and programs and services for behavioral health and homelessness, and that they wish to have a shared role in governance, allocations, and priority setting. So that's really the crux of the project. We can all go home and get cooled off. No. You know, this collaboration started a few years ago working on a year-round shelter, low barrier shelter, the winter shelter that was in the city of Mount Vernon. You know, we had done for 3 years, I believe, maybe it was two, and we were no longer going to be able to continue at the church that we were using. And of course, those winter months were not the only time in the calendar year that we needed to have that option for folks. And so the mayors and commissioners began working together and having those conversations. Then what followed that was conversations about 1405 or 1406 and 1590, and looking at, are there areas, you know, every city, every, you know, every area has their own priorities, but are there areas where potentially we could get more bang for the buck and leverage those funds? And those conversations in one or two meetings quickly, you know, grew to, wait a second, what about the overall system? What about all these dollars that the county has that maybe, you know, providers have with grants, looking at other funding streams, and what really do we need to do? You next slide, please. So that really takes us to why we're here. We've had multiple efforts, whether it's hospitals, whether it's first responders, whether it's providers, whether it's electeds, you know, reaching out to public health or reach or creating their own groups to try and plan and solve this problem. There were significant changes made a few years back to the funding of behavioral health services, and the roles and responsibilities drastically changed when they moved to a managed care model, which, you know, was for profit, and we have four managed care organizations that serve our region. So that made it really challenging. But even though, you know, all of these parties wanted the same thing, we really lacked a cohesive plan for both homelessness and behavioral health that were aligned and that everyone agreed to. Next slide, please. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are struggling. In fact, I was at a meeting as part of this project last Friday with Chief Tucker's replacement and some other of our law enforcement folks, and it was absolutely humbling. I don't even know what the right word is, maybe disturbing, to hear the stories of boots on the ground and what are, and this is just law enforcement. We had groups with behavioral health providers, with homeless service providers, but to hear firsthand the problems that they've known for years, but to see some of the workarounds that folks are trying to do, because when you take them to the hospital, they're often discharged. Sometimes you get calls for that same individual after taking them to the hospital 4 to 6 times on a shift. And some of the workarounds were sometimes placing folks in the jail just so that they stay alive and stay safe when they haven't been able to get the proper level of care. It was absolutely, you know, heart-wrenching. And so, you know, the acuity of the problem that we're seeing has worsened. I know you all saw that with that, you know, incident that was tied to the evaluation and treatment center with a gentleman that was from out of town. And, you know, a lot of caring people, but just it was really, we didn't have the systems in place to properly provide the individual the treatment they needed. And there's a lot of reasons why. Next slide, please. And so, this is so funny. I'm using notes from like a presentation that is not that one. So I'm like, why are my notes not matching my slides? So I'll just do it off the cuff. We know that we can't do this alone. We know that all of you also can't do it. And we know that we have to engage our community partners, our community providers, and our citizens in finding solutions. And I also want to point out that although this project incorporates homelessness and behavioral health together, not all individuals who are experiencing homelessness have a behavioral health disorder. I know a lot do, but not all. And there's also an invisibility to this crisis. You know, a lot of times in meetings, I hear folks, you know, focus on those that we visibly see in our cities or in our parks or, you know, that are in more of the more busy areas of where we live. But there's also a lot of families, families with kids, when you talk to your, you know, school district, that are couch surfing or living in their cars or living in campgrounds and who really struggle with stable housing that's safe. Same with our migrant farm workers Same with our Latinx population, where there's a lot of barriers due to language and concern about seeking services. So there's a lot of, and then elderly, we're seeing a lot of older adults who lose their housing and they're just not able to find low income housing and end up living out of their vehicles. So it's really a complex problem. Next slide, please. So this kind of brings us to the project. When we were in these meetings with the mayors and the commissioners, and it became really clear that, I often would hear things like, well, these are decisions that we made and why. It was really clear that the individuals right now that are in their positions, the mayors and commissioners, they were not necessarily a part of those decisions. And our community has changed. And that those decisions needed to be prioritized. For example, do we really prioritize permanent housing and trying to move people, from homelessness straight to permanent housing, not looking at transitional housing type options? Do we prioritize folks that are, on the cuff of being homeless and trying to prevent that? Do we prioritize low barrier, really high vulnerable folks? What do we prioritize? And so the Skagit County hired a consultant called Tenfold, and they're a team of four experts who lead executive level health transformation change. We've got folks that have behavioral health, homelessness, policy, system change backgrounds that are leading the process on behalf of our county, which I'm really appreciative of because I think it's important that we have experts. And I also think it's really important that, my used to be staff, that we are neutral and that we're really hearing from our electeds and our city councils and our community members about what our community needs instead of, our favorite projects or what we think the solutions are. So we started in March working with them, and the mayors were very interested in collaborating on this project. So we got Tenfold Health under contract. And then pretty rapidly, the first phase, which was kind of a 2-month phase, was Tenfold had meetings, they called them leadership meetings. And those were different sector leaders, whether it was law enforcement, whether it was fire, whether it was schools, hospitals, judges, a whole bunch of different sectors to be able to understand their perspective of what our current state was. And they individually met also with the mayors and commissioners. Like, what do you perceive the current situation to be and what are those impacts? That led us to a call to action that was signed by the mayors and the commissioners and kind of set forth the framework for how we're going to work going forward. Okay, next slide, please. Of this project, it's a 2-year project. The first year, which is phase one, is currently underway. And that is where we develop the plan. That is where we figure out what our vision is. Where do we want to go? Where do we need to go? And then together doing priority setting and what the strategies are going to be. Year two, which is 2023, is the implementation of that plan. And part of that implementation will mean a change of governance and policy, a change of how those funds that go through the county are allocated, and making sure that we have city voice and participation in that process, which is really exciting given that so much problem is in our cities. Earlier on in this project, some folks thought, well, this is a pretty lengthy process. Does it need to be this lengthy? Does it need to be this robust? We all know what we see. But, there's been a lot of planning efforts in the past, not only by the county, but by our behavioral health Association. It's now our ASO. It used to be our BHO, and before that was NISMA, by hospitals, by a lot of different parties. And what we're missing is where all of these efforts link together and where we can best leverage our efforts and leverage our resources. You know, when we look at the math and we look at the funding that the county likely will bring in over the next 10 years, you can't afford not to do this process time-wise and cost-wise. We probably will have approximately $150 million that we can leverage in our community. And this also could prepare us for legislative action and also to be able to leverage other funding that we're currently not tapping, whether that's through insurance, whether that's through our accountable community of health, whether that's looking at shared grants or new funding streams that could come to our community or even philanthropy. Next slide, please. So the interviews that I just spoke of, this slide is to just show you what those sectors were. Some folks, you know, provide feedback that, you know, we're missing the experts. Not that these folks aren't experts, but missing also the actual clinicians and the, you know, those frontline workers. These interviews were to gain that leadership perspective of what our current state is. Before you can create that future state, you must know where you currently are. Next slide, please. What was amazing about these interviews is, well, first I will say nothing was surprising. The Tenfold team met with the mayors and commissioners and shared with them in more detail what that feedback was. But there was very good general consensus that there was goodwill and interest in collaborating. Everyone agreed that the resources are insufficient. Everyone agreed that that the systems and the providers and the agencies are uncoordinated, not necessarily because they want them to be, but because of there's a lot of barriers to sharing information, for example, and that the services that we do have, if they were better coordinated and different folks knew what others were doing for the same individuals, we could likely not duplicate and repeat history. Maybe we could even, at the meeting Friday I'm talking about with law enforcement, they were sharing about how hard it is sometimes even with a designated crisis responder to even get someone to where they can go to our evaluation and treatment center with telecare because of the past where certain people have certain information and at that given point, the designated crisis responder may not be seeing the full picture. So that was really concerning. We all know the tightness of the housing market. We know that we've got lower than 1% vacancy rate, which makes it really difficult to move us out of really putting band-aids on the issue. And we really want to move away from funding more services that serve more people. Not saying we wouldn't necessarily do that in certain categories, but it is not moving the needle. We're not seeing improvement overall in our entire county with the devastating impacts for folks that are struggling with homelessness and with behavioral health disorders. So there's something bigger and larger that has to change to be able to pivot and make an impact on this situation. Something that was interesting is that what came out of the interviews is that the availability and confidence in data is low. And what that means is, for example, hospitals have data, public health has data, schools have data, lots of folks have data. Folks believe in their data, but don't necessarily trust other people's data. And then there's a lack of data sharing for a lot of different reasons. And that data could really help us inform our processes going forward. And then most importantly, it was unanimous that everyone felt we needed to move and move forward. Next slide, please. So it's a tad bit out of date, but this is just to show an example of Tenfold Health. And they have a very specific work plan. And then from the work plan, it's broken down to each week what they're doing. And they will be doing this for the entire process. Staff meet with the Tenfold, the consultants, we call it the tactical team, every week to make sure that progress is moving forward. Next slide, please. We are currently, we formed the leadership team, which is the mayors and the commissioners. Only one commissioner joins the meetings, however, so that it is not a public meeting, but it is the mayors and all three commissioners. And currently that leadership team is in the process of developing and standing up an advisory committee. We have a draft charter and a draft slate of members that the mayors and commissioners are considering and will provide feedback. We will have our first launch or our first meeting with the advisory committee in September, and the mayors and commissioners will help set that agenda. And this advisory committee is to help the mayors and commissioners. They are the experts, that they will provide guidance. They will answer questions, provide feedback as requested from that leadership team. Next step, please. Our next step, next slide. I've probably already gone through most of this. What's happening right now is behind the scenes. Tenfold Health is working on mapping, and the mapping is to do a gaps analysis. So in order to look at your current state and looking at where we need to go, we need to understand in more depth where those failures in our systems are and what we can and can't influence. That was part of the work last week, and that was actually the second time they've met with folks. And then they are continuing to schedule follow-up meetings with different sector leaders and workers. There will be a lot of opportunity in the fall and winter as this project continues for community input and for vetting the project. There's also, they've started the research of best practices, and they'll begin to overlay all of that information and start to bring forth some tangible material for the leadership team and advisory committee to work through. Next slide, please. So there is a designated page on the county website for this project. It's very important to us that anyone who is interested can stay up to date with what the process is or what has happened. Once those advisory, committee meetings start happening, we will be able to provide some summaries of the discussions on there. Currently, what is on the web page is some of the call to action, some of the PowerPoints, some of the results. There's a PowerPoint that shows the results of all of the leadership interviews. If you want to see in more depth by sector what the feedback was of those strengths and opportunities, and we will continue to update this page. I am also available to personally come to you and to do updates through as this process unfolds and as you wish. And I am also available to provide information to you in different formats if you feel that would be helpful. So feel free to let me know or to let the mayor know, and I am happy to make sure that you feel included and that there are no surprises at the end, and that you're also able to provide input. So that is very important. Next slide, please. That is the end of my presentation. Like I said, a lot of the work right now is kind of behind the scenes, setting up the structure for moving forward, but I am available for questions or comments and would love to hear from you what your thoughts are or what you need from us as we move forward.
Okay. Are there any questions for Jennifer? Yes.
Hi, thank you, Jennifer, for the presentation. It sounds like a great project. I was just curious. It seems like there's a really good flow down from the county into the cities, but it seems like this homelessness and behavioral health is also regional, with Whatcom, Snohomish, King Pierce. Is there any flow up where there's someone from the state or from other counties that, we can coordinate at that level once we kind of figure out locally what to do?
That is a wonderful question. Yes and no. One of the seats on the advisory committee is recommended to be, I don't know if you know what the accountable community of healths are. There's 9 of them in the state. And that is the state set up these structures, which in our region is Snohomish, Whatcom, Skagit Island in San Juan. And that's where a lot of the Medicaid transformation projects were hosted out of. And they are a significant source of funding and policy influence at the state level. They are currently being, the waiver is what it's called, a Medicaid waiver is being updated. And there will be a new, I don't know if it's gonna be 3 years or 5 years. And part of their focus is gonna be on care coordination. Well, one of the highlights from the interviews was the lack of coordination between providers. And care coordination is something that has been really difficult for folks to tackle, especially with social services and social determinants of health, to be able to have a more streamlined way where law enforcement or a provider could more quickly get that referral. So anyways, the executive director of the Accountable Community of Health is one of the members recommended for the advisory group, given their influence over funding and the regional work with social determinants of health. And these are definitely social determinants of health. And so, of course, housing, homelessness, and behavioral health are on the high priority for them. We feel we need to get a little bit further along before we start to engage leaders and legislators at the state level. But so that's when I said yes and no. That will be part of the implementation plan. So that'll be part of year two, where we do that, because you're right. These problems don't stop at our borders of our county or our cities. And we've got to be all rowing in the same direction. So a little premature, but yes.
Anyone else? Yes, Councilman Lavaca.
Thank you. I'm actually excited to see that it's happening in the local scale versus more of a state down scale. Has there been any thought to look into what other cities have done, like Seattle or Portland or LA? And because they really put a lot of effort and energy toward it because it's a serious problem there, but it looks like it's gotten worse. So lessons learned, or see what did work and really what didn't work, and apply that to this. And it's really nice to see that, because dealing with the problems in the heart, really, for the people, you know, it's not like a government down deal. It's the people around in the community. Mm-hmm. So to see more of a local input and see that directive going.
So a couple of things. One of the reasons why we've started at the local level is there's been a lot of work in the last few years with the changes they made to the behavioral health system with funding and roles at the commissioners, our public health department, and then even in the region, really trying to make changes to those decisions. And it was a lot of staffing. It was a lot of resources that was used to do that. And, you know, that they'd already made their decisions. It wasn't super impactful. And the problem is people are hurting. People are hurting in our community right now. So the reason why we're starting local and then building up is we have got to do something different. These are our family members. These are people we know and our friends and that we care about. And it's just not acceptable. And there's so many times that different people are pointing fingers and saying, well, I can't do that, or they're not mine. And we've got to figure out a way to find some safety nets for these folks before we can tackle it at the state level or at the legislative level. I mean, I think if we keep waiting for a legislative fix on this, the problem will absolutely continue to worsen, and could be waiting forever, actually. So there's that. That's part of why we're doing it in this way. We know there's, you know, certain parts of the system that we can't influence or that we shouldn't, you know, fund or influence. But there is one thing that's been great in this work so far, and being part of these mapping sessions with sector leaders and with frontline staff, is it's starting to become clear that there really are some significant things that we can do that are not replicating what Medicaid or other funding streams should be doing, that I think could have some high impact in our community. And your second point, I already forgot.
So the real thing I was asking is, are we looking at what other cities have done and yes. then seeing like, cause they haven't been working quite so well for sure.
Yeah.
And we don't want to mirror that or repeat that or redo what's already been done.
Right. And the answer is yes, absolutely. And that's what's so great about working with Tenfold Health. They lead these projects together as a team and then also independently in their own independent contractor role in a lot of different areas. So they have been a part of those that don't work real well, and they've actually been a part of different models that do work well. And then they're continuing to research what other cities and counties have done. And they actually will even be going and visiting certain programs to see what components might fit well and could be adapted here. So yes, absolutely. Nice. Absolutely.
Anyone else? I have to say, Jennifer, I really appreciated the opportunity to come together with everyone. And I have learned quite a bit. So just as when the leaders came here and saw what we had going on in Sijawuli, some they were aware of, some they were not. That's been the case for I as well, is learning what all the other agencies are doing within the community itself, in the county. Within the county. So it's actually Jennifer and her team who put this together. I think you did the research on it, didn't you, Jennifer? And greatly appreciate that. I think it's going to be a dynamic and powerful program that we're going to be able to implement within our community. And it's all of us working together rather than working sometimes against each other with, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think just acknowledging that and being open to doing something different is the first step, and that we've succeeded on. Mm-hmm. I feel that we have anyways.
Thank you,
Mayor.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's really great.
I appreciate that very much. We care. I think that's one thing though, that is also super special. Everyone cares so deeply about the community, and it's just not acceptable. And so we have to find a way to change the trajectory of this crisis that we all are experiencing. So thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you for allowing me to be here and share with you. And I'm happy to come back as you wish. Just let Mayor Johnson know or let me know. And I'm happy to have conversations with you and provide updates however you wish. So thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yep. Okay. So moving on, we're going to go to city administrator report, but I believe it is you, Chief Tucker, who's going to do that for us.
It is. I have all the power. Actually, I have to confess to something right from the get-go. I've been a little bit remiss in my duties. I planned on having something that would serve Charlie well when he came back, that I fulfilled all that. I was actually in jury selection all week. And stuck over at the county waiting to get kicked off of jury duty. So I really didn't get to doing much. But I did some emergency signing stuff, and I think I signed a couple of contracts, not exactly sure what it was, but it came out of Mark's end of the building. So I figured I better sign it. I had a couple of things to sign this week, and a job offer for one of the fire paramedics went out last week. Just out of signing in Charlie's stead. I'm pretty excited about that, getting another fire paramedic on board. And Mayor, were you going to talk a little bit about our meeting with John and Rebecca, or is that, do we want to wait for a while for that?
Why don't we wait
for got that? Got it. The other thing, we've been pretty busy in the police department. So I'm going to combine this with my lack of a written report in our council packet as well. We've been pretty busy assisting Mount Vernon with several shootings that they've been involved, that they've had in their city limits. And we've just provided some manpower. Both our detectives have been over there. Katie and Austin have gone over to help with search warrants and picking up some of the subjects involved in that. It's really valuable for our folks to develop that working relationship with an outstanding police department that Mount Vernon is. It's really a good, I've been there when I was a detective, I got to go help them and the county on a few things. And it's really a good experience for us. Some of the bigger things that we don't see much of, and it helps whenever they get integrated into the SMART call out. And they've already worked together on other things. So it's been a really beneficial thing for us, but at a cost. There's been several shootings over at Mount Vernon, and all of them are essentially been gang related. Mm-hmm. And some of those gang members are have connections to Cedar Woolley. So it's kind of nice for us to keep our finger in the mix. We had, and some of you may have seen on our social media, we had a pretty terrible animal endangerment. somebody left an animal out in the heat and it died. And both code enforcement and detectives worked on getting a search warrant. And we actually booked somebody into jail on that. And it kind of hit home for everybody how horrible this kind of stuff is. I can't imagine some of those agencies have had to deal with a parent leaving a child in a vehicle or something like that. We've been working on that, and that's kind of taken a couple of days worth of work. And things that Jennifer was talking about today, some folks with some mental health issues in and out of jail that's resulted in, or in and out of the ER for some mental health evaluation, has resulted in fights on two different occasions with one individual. He was in and out of the ER one day, came out later that day. Crew got into a tussle with him the next day. So this is hitting us almost every day. The thing she's talking about, some of the folks that we're dealing with on the street. So this will be a welcome addition to the things that we can use to help some of these folks on the street. And on a personal note, next Wednesday, August 3rd, is my 30th anniversary with the city of Cedar Woolley. I was a baby police officer starting back in 1992 on August 3rd. And that's why I chose the end of this month to do, or end of August to do my retirement, because it'll be right after my 30th anniversary. And it'll be my last council meeting. Hopefully Dan will be back. He seems to have taken July off to go on, get some vacations in before he's in the hot seat. You'll be seeing him back in here starting the first council meeting in August. And that's all I've got.
All right. Thank you. Do either one of you want to give a report? I know that you've already met with somebody from the finance committee will be giving a finance report. So, okay. Then I'm going to move on to Councilman Owen. Do you have a report?
I don't have much to say, Mayor, other than trying to keep cool the last couple of days. It's been pretty hot up. I grew up in Georgia, you know, and 100 degree temperature is pretty normal in the summer, but I guess I've acclimatized to Cedar Woolley weather, and it's pretty hard on you. I was going to ask Chief Tucker before he slips away, and has Frank got his enough stuff together that we can have one more safety meeting before you leave?
I'm sure we can. We have to get him back here as well. I think he and Nan McElraith are collaborating on taking off on vacations. I think Frank's off on a cruise this week.
Yep.
So but I'll talk to both of them. We'll see if we can come up with something.
Well, if you happen to come up with something, well, you can pass it on to the mayor. She can put it on the agenda.
Will do.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Councilman McGoffin.
Hi, thank you. I actually just had a quick question for Chief Tucker too, related to the gang violence in Mount Vernon. There was some discussion previously about having like a community task force for painting over like graffiti and tagging like that. I haven't really heard anything since then. Can you give just a quick update on where we're at?
You know, haven't really, I'm not sure what Dan's been talking to. If Dan's been working with our new sergeant, Zach Carroll, he's been kind of our gang guy. And I don't know if they've been working on something with that. I'll have to check in with him.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Councilwoman Diamond.
Good evening. Prior to this meeting, we had a brief finance meeting with our finance committee. And so everybody's aware that report is actually on the website. So everybody is able to review it and look at it. We went over the fact that the departments are currently working on their estimated budgets coming up, and that we reviewed the actual year to date for the second quarter of 2022. And it was an overall really good report. Kelly did a great job putting everything together. breaking it down by each fund, and everybody should be happy to know that the revenues exceed expenditures in most funds. So that's a good thing from where we're coming from right now. And then the other thing to note coming from that is that the website is going to be updated with current financials that had not been updated. Some aspects of it in a couple of years. So that is all being worked on, that will be updated. So everybody will have access to that information. Other than that, the girls 9, 10, 11 year old softball tournament that was held at Janicki went off without a hitch. It was a great tournament. We had a lot of people come in from all over the state. Very good feedback from the people that came into the community for that tournament. And they look forward to the possibility of having many more in the parks departments there. And there's some additional feedback that I can provide to the Parks and Rec Committee based on that tournament in the future.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. Thank you, Sarah. All right. Councilman Burns.
Not much for you this evening. I did have a constituent concern about alley maintenance behind Bennett. And I spoke with Nathan about it and put him in contact with the constituent, and sounds like they're working it out. I'm just gonna try to get his dead end alley cleared. So, all right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Councilwoman Kesty.
I have nothing tonight, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Allen.
I just wanna go home and get in front of the fan.
Okay, we'll try to make this quick and painless then. Councilman Lavaca.
Now I feel bad. No. So for Parks and Rec, I scheduled a meeting for the 10th. And so that looks like that's going to go over really good. I hope at that meeting to have those videos and photos, the video, short video of all the latest events we've had since 4th of July and the Raga Rodeo and the rodeo and the ball game, things like that together to display there for the committee. And then hopefully if they like it, bring it to the council as well as photos from the park. So that sounds exciting. We had a little car show up on Moore Street, which was really nice on 20, basically 29. That was put together really quick and they did a great job and it was fun for the community. Guys had a lot of fun. Same thing with the Little League game. That was a lot of fun too. I did hear some requests about advertising. So I'm not sure if we have an opportunity to, I know banners are hard across roadways and stuff, but it's something to think about in the future, maybe later on in time. I did have a constituent ask about speeding on State Street. And I know that John Liner gets, because they're straightaways going from State and Township heading east. It's kind of that speed zone. Same thing with John Liner. So he was hoping to maybe see if we can get like an officer over there once in a while and do some stops. But I know that they do because that happened on a ride along that I was with where we stopped somebody as well. Ended up being 14 years old, so we couldn't ticket him. But so yeah, that's awesome. That would work out great. And that's about it. Looking forward to continuing on with the beautiful summer. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. Just a couple things for the council. First up, a huge thank you to Bill Chambers for implementing the Public Works Interactive Project Map on the city website. I know that was a request put in by Councilman Lavaca, and that is up and running. Also, the C.J. Woolley Library is our cooling center. So if you know, I did send that out to you. So if you know of anyone who's looking for a place to stay cool during the day, the C.J. Woolley Library is open. I believe it's from 9 to 6 to do that. Schaffner's Pharmacy has come to C.J. Woolley. And we had a ribbon cutting last week. And it was, it's really beautiful on the inside. And it offers a whole lot more than just pharmaceutical goods. There's also some gifts in there that you can purchase. And also it's a coffee shop. So you can meet people there for coffee if you so like. It was really nice. And we're thrilled to have them come to town. I also wanted to let you know that the joint project that we have been working on with the Rotary this year, we always do a project with the Rotary, the city does. It was a sound system in the community center that has been completed. And it sounds amazing. It absolutely sounds amazing. I heard from Nathan, and he said that the plaque for the Northern State Cemetery has been completed, and he and his team are going to put it in possibly sometime next week. And once that's done, we will do a dedication. Mr. Hudeman will come and we will do a dedication to that. So I'll keep you in the loop regarding that. And let's see. And I believe that that is all I have for right now. So any questions for me?
Mayor Julia, so that community center, that's for rent on the Parks and Rec site if residents wanted to rent that out, I believe. Is that still happening? That's correct. And that includes the sound system.
The community center? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. The community center is always for rent. It's always for, if people want to rent it, they can do so. They can do it online.
Sweet.
Yeah.
As a reminder, if there's a new sound system, and it's definitely a great place to get a venue.
Yes.
One question for you, Mayor.
Yes.
I noticed when they were advertising for places to stay cool, Cedar Woolley has not been getting their message out very well for different things. You know, like I know it's Rotary, but bands at the park on Sundays right. and stuff. So I just feel like we're kind of falling off the map a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. I know that when the county put it out, it was an oversight because I did call and ask about that, as did Jean. And they said that that was just an oversight, but they have since sent another one out, which I sent out today for all of you. So you'll see that Cedar Woolley is there. And also, I do believe Jean has it on her website, but I can't confirm that, Councilman Allen, but I do believe she has it on her website. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I don't want to just be a third rate, you know, forgotten city.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Anything else? All right. So we will move on now to public comment. It is 6:43 and I'm going to open public comment. Is there anybody within the chamber here who would like to make public comment? Okay. Seeing none, I am looking online and I do not see any individuals other than our city individuals. So we will close public comment and move on to unfinished business. And I believe the first order of business tonight is actually the second reading of a possible adoption of the 2023-2028 Transportation Improvement Program. Director Freiberger, good evening.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. So this is the second reading for the 2023-2028 Transportation Improvement Program. I went through that in some detail at the last meeting, so I don't think it's necessary unless you'd like to hear another version of that to repeat all of that tonight. I do ask your action tonight on this. I have to get this submitted in the STIP software by the 29th, so I have just a couple of days to do that now. So without any further ado, I would request your motion to approve the 2023 to 2028 Transportation Improvement Program.
Okay. Any questions? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Madam Mayor, I'll make that motion.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I'll second.
Okay, thank you. So I had a motion by Councilwoman Kesty, second by Councilwoman Diamond, to adopt Resolution 1095-22, adopting the 2023-2028 Transportation Improvement Plan. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Moving on to Amendment 8 to the Professional Service Agreement, the 2018 PS25 with Pacific Landscape Architecture. So Mr. Freiberger, again.
Thank you, Mayor. I know this came up for the council meeting when I was on vacation. Apologize, I wasn't here to present on it. So basically what this particular amendment does is adds $38,194 to Pacific Landscape Architecture's contract to expand the design work for the Memorial Park improvements. The original scope that they quoted on that we put in amendment number 7 was pretty limited. Nathan was pretty well handling that at the time. I didn't spend a huge amount of time doing it due to other workload. We met in the field with them to review the work they were doing, and I frankly wasn't satisfied that it was enough work to make the project worthwhile. So I had them expand their scope to include replacement some of the sidewalks that are in pretty poor shape that come from both State Street and from the alleyway between the church and the site. and to complete the improvements that would tie in to the senior center. Between that and complete the landscaping to tie up to the community center. So now that we would have a complete looking project. Of course, the cost went up for that. And the other element that was necessary that wasn't included in adequate detail for the site was a stormwater design report. Due to the topography of the area, it's pretty flat out there, as you know. There is a limited ability to handle stormwater with the existing utilities there. In fact, we have some very shallow drains in the parking lot to the east of these proposed improvements, but they're too shallow to actually act as drains for the site. So we're going to have to rely on infiltration. We had already included some geotechnical work in the original scope of work to see if the soils were suitable for that. We suspected they were, and we have received that information back, and they will accommodate 10 inches per hour of infiltration, which is good. It's excellent. If we have 2 inches, we usually are able to do something. So that's going to be something we should be able to do within the site without trying to put a pump station in and pump the water off site. So that was good news. But we need to complete additional engineering work, which is a good chunk of the amount of their request for addition on that to do that stormwater report. So the other thing that's in this is Pacific Landscape made a mistake on their original quote. They forgot to transpose or to extend dollars that they had in their detailed estimate across to come up with their totals, and they had a $10,000 error in that. I looked at that pretty closely, and I can't really question what they're saying to me. So that's also in here. That makes up about, you know, a quarter of the total amount here. Total is $38,194, as I said. I'm recommending we go ahead and move ahead with this. I will say that I have some more work that I'll be doing in talking with Pacific to make sure that we're getting adequate improvements to justify the cost of this. I really need to move forward with the preliminary design to get to that point even. We have a very preliminary cost estimate for this work that they based their original scoping on of about $600,000. The updated estimate that we received from them when we did some other preliminary stuff is higher than that. And so I really need to get some better figures, and that's included in this work as well as to update the design. One other thing I'm concerned about on this is they had proposed a play hill in the scope of work here. It's actually an artificially created area with an artificial play surface on it. That their original estimate for that was significantly lower than what we understand the going costs for that are right now. So we're going to be looking carefully at what the playground's going to look like. I anticipate we'll be going back to a standard playground rather than putting that mound in. I was a little concerned about the amount of playable surface anyway with the mound. That's kind of all they are, with a couple of slides off of them and a few other features. And I think a standard playground may be a better fit for that park anyway. So we've got a lot of work to do, but I need the architect to move ahead with the design to do that. And that's what I'm proposing tonight, is to move forward with amendment number 8 to Professional Services Agreement 2018 PS25.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark. Are there any questions for Mark?
Mark, when I first was looking at their stuff, I saw these oops, cost overrun, $34,000 to $51,000. Are you going to be able to keep your thumb on the people?
Yes, I'll be fully engaged in this moving forward. It's just one of those things. Nathan has been trying to do this one, and he's been awfully busy this year. He's always busy.
Always, yeah.
So we'll move ahead with this, and I'll be watching this extremely closely.
Okay, Madam Mayor, I'll make a motion to amend Professional Service 2018 PS25 with Pacific Landscape Architecture.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to ask another question, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Can I do that between the motions?
Can we get a second and then we can, yeah.
I'll second.
Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Councilman Lavaca. Thank you, Councilman.
Thank you very much for the hard work on this too, Mark. It does seem like a pretty high increase, 50% on their original bid for the park. And if they're doing that just for the stormwater and new assessment, I'm almost wondering what's going to happen in the future. There was a $10,000 mistake on a $69,000 bid, which is pretty extensive for leeway as far as mistake goes. And then to add on top of that, another 28. So, you know, I know that I really would love to see this park come forward. I know the Y kids would love to see it. The neighborhoods would love to see it. I'm just wondering, would it be wise to kind of hold a little bit to get another bid or find out if there's somebody else, or is this the best place we should go? And it does seem pretty high end, $108,000 just for designs, to find out if we can really start saving money or if we're going to have to spend more money.
Yeah, it's a little difficult in this case to change horses in midstream. They've already done a good part of the preliminary work from the original scope. So to start over again, we would spend more money to do this. So I do recommend we go ahead. I'll be watching it pretty closely. I'm concerned about the cost of it too. It's about 14% of their estimated cost for the work. That's not excessive for design contracts we're seeing right now. So overall, it's not that out of line. But again, it's how many, what are the actual improvements we're seeing? It's mostly paving, some revisions to the grass work and a playground. It does include the infrastructure for the future phase for the spray park. We do have the plumbing in for that and the meter work and all of those things. So there is a little bit beyond this, but I share your concerns with this, and I'll be watching it pretty closely. And the other thing that you'll be seeing throughout the future we're just facing is the costs for construction are just skyrocketing. Mm-hmm. And so the earlier estimates that we saw for this and the Olmsted Park, I've got them bolstered quite a bit in what you'll be seeing in the budget work already. And it will have a pretty major impact on what all we can do on this particular facility. We may well have to make some choices on what we want to do in terms of completing both Olmsted and Memorial. You probably have some additional funds you could consider from some of the sources that are being used here. But we'll want to look at that carefully, and I'll get that information to you as we develop the actual design and estimates. I have a final estimate for Olmsted that was done and is complete and ready to go. And that was up 20 or 30% over what we had from the preliminary estimates. And so I anticipate we'll probably see that on this one as well.
It does seem like a lot when you get consistent estimates that are 20 to 30% over, but not 20 to 30% under, if that's the case. I did some research on pump tracks just out of curiosity for another project in another area. And it was the asphalt pump tracks. And when I was talking to the individual, he was, oh yeah, I talked with Nate and Cedrawoli, and it's about, $30 a foot, which equates to about $280,000 for something I was looking for. But still, I was thinking, wow, that's quite a lot, so I kind of closed the idea down. But in looking at the park estimates or what these costs compared to an entire pump track that's set up, landscape planning, start to finish, I was thinking this seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you for your time.
Councilwoman Kesty.
I have a lot of concerns with this as well, because I'm curious, the more that we keep spending on design, the less we're going to have to build it. And so the extra costs of what they're asking, I have huge concerns with. Will we be able to complete it with all of the extra design costs?
Well, again, I won't really know until we get to the point where I have a better estimate on the work and we can reprice it based on current costs for this type of work. So I share your concerns, as I've already stated, and we'll be watching it pretty closely. However, we have to do the design to be able to get to the point that I can provide that advice to the council to move forward with this or not. So to stop now, we basically just sacrifice everything we've already spent. So
do we own any of the designs that have already been done and any of that information to this point? We purchased it. And if that was the transfer over, that another agency would have that, right?
Yeah, we have, of course, the preliminary work that's been done, but it's actually not that far along, probably less than 30%. So it's not all that usable. If I selected another consultant, we'd be starting not from ground zero. We'd have the topographic survey and the geotechnical report and some preliminary drawings, but you know, we would be reinventing the wheel, no question about that.
Go ahead.
Thank you. In your experience, I mean, you've done this a long time. How often do these types of mistakes happen where the people come back and say, we need 10 grand more? Because
pretty rare, really. Okay. Pacific Land Design is we've been using them for 5 years now, I guess. And their predecessor company, which we had actually selected for the work, that particular principal retired. And Patricia Lesson took it over and formed a new company. And we've been one of her major clients for the last number of years. And she's generally done a pretty good job for us. And so, you know, I've been known to beat up my consultants pretty bad in the past, you know, when they make mistakes like this. But in this particular case, I don't see any point in that. I probably would, you know, in that case, just be risking putting them out of business for that kind of thing. And so, you know, I can attempt to negotiate it down and I'm certainly willing to do that. But at the end of the day, we need the work done and they're well entrenched in it. And I'm comfortable that they will be able to finish the work. That's not a question.
Okay. So it sounds like they have a good track record with us. This was just an honest mistake.
Yeah, they've designed Hauser Park, Olmsted Park. The design is finished on that, and we've done some other things with them as well. So you know they've performed. It's not like they've let us down on anything. This is somewhat rare for them to come back for that kind of change, and it was clearly a mistake on their part.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Okay. So we have a motion by Councilman Allen, and it was seconded by Councilman McGoffin to authorize Mayor Johnson to sign the Amendment 8 to the Professional Services Agreement 2018 PS25 with Pacific Landscape Architecture. Any more discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Those opposed, same sign?
Nay.
Okay. Nick, was that you? Okay, thank you. All right. Passes. Moving on to last item of the night, which is actually our new business, and that is the possible approval of a purchase order, 2022 PO14, Mohawk Lifts, LLC, Vehicle Lifts, and Rise Stands. And Mr. Freiberger.
Thank you, Mayor. So as a part of the new shop that we are building, is nearly complete at the Public Works building, we need to equip that with the equipment to be able to do the service work that we propose to do. We have a vehicle lift now. It's a frame type structure that's in the existing shop that we'll retain. We'll probably leave it over there. It's not large enough to handle our larger apparatus. We've typically, and you've heard this story before, we've had to do that in the yard, out in the weather, to do that on creepers. So this is a system that's commonly used now rather than having a static one device lift. They're actually computer controlled individual wheel lifts. There's four of them. They work together wirelessly. And so the mechanic sets those up and is able to lift a large vehicle. The ones that are proposed have a weight capacity of 19,000 pounds per each. That'll lift most of our vehicles. I was actually checking tonight. Councilmember Burns asked me a very pertinent question, which I haven't been actually able to get an answer because Leo has been busy today. he did all the research for me on this. This is the standard heavy duty commercial version of these lifts. And I know it will pick up all of our vehicles with the possible exception of the ladder truck. The ladder truck is a 71,000 pound gross vehicle weight lift, and its rear wheels are about 24,000 per each. The lift's 19,000, so obviously it's not quite there on that. But what I don't know, and Joe does, is gross vehicle weight and actual empty weight are different matters. The truck no doubt has a tank on it that's included filled in the gross weight. So I haven't got an answer on that particular apparatus, but I know it'll pick up all of our other stuff, including all of our solid waste vehicles, which was a primary concern for us to be able to service those trucks. Now, we included in the budget for the project $50,000 to buy these lifts. We solicited and got a quote for them 2 years ago when we started this process at $44,000. They have gone up significantly since then. It's the same story. COVID impacts have really played havoc with equipment in particular. And this one is a computer controlled device, like a lot of other things that are seeing significant cost impacts. So this is the state Sourcewell bid contract amount for this device or this set of devices. And I just bring it to you as it is. I've gone through the budget for the project, and we still have allowing for some change orders that I still know are out there. I see that there's about, and including the cost for this equipment, there's going to be about $350,000 left of our total budget, which we're hoping to keep for improvements to the second floor of the building. As you know, we didn't award that to Faber. We got a quote from them on it, which was higher than that. It was in the neighborhood of $450,000 to $500,000. I was uncomfortable going forward with that, so we have not proceeded with that. You haven't seen a request for that change order. We are finishing the grading work and getting ready to pave out there in the next couple of weeks to finish all of the other things that you did approve earlier before I went on vacation. So this does not affect our project budget significantly, somewhat higher than we originally allowed. I do expect to go under on some of the other costs, and I'm quite comfortable that there's plenty of money to do this. We need the equipment and be able to use the shop for the purpose that we intend for using it for. So anyway, I would recommend that we award this or authorize the mayor to, or actually myself, to sign the purchase order for Mohawk to purchase these vehicle lifts and the stand jacks that go along with that.
Okay. Any questions? Councilman Lavaca?
Yeah. I'm definitely in favor of this because I believe it'll definitely save production time on service and repair. It definitely adds safety to the equation. I was just wondering if you had a link to that. You said they're wireless, right? And they're able to drive around. They got 19,000 pound capacity. Yeah, if I can get a link to that, that would be cool if you would mail me that.
Yeah, I didn't get them in time to include them in the packet, but I have the brochures for these, and I'll send them out as a last email to all the council.
Yeah, those are valuable for sure. Thank you.
Councilman Burns.
Since I'm in the automotive field, I kind of already knew what we're looking at here. And the reason I asked the question was just in case we had anything that was in the future plans, because these models tend to change over time. And this is linkable with up to 6 units, which would add an additional 36K to the available lifting capacity of it. And then there's also other extensions and accessories that are sometimes necessary to make these able to be utilized with different apparatus. So I was just making sure we were getting everything we needed so that the mechanic could do his job.
Absolutely. And it was a good question.
Yeah.
And you've just said what I think is the case here. And that is if we did want to be able to lift the fire apparatus and its empty value is higher than their capacity, we buy 2 more units to do that.
From what I found online when I did a little reading on various fire trucks, roughly like what we have, it seemed like their empty capacities or empty weight were well under 50K. So I think we'd be safe as long as the rear is not too heavy.
Yeah. Empty the tank before we try to lift.
Definitely.
Councilman Lavaca?
I was just going to make a motion to move forward with.
Madam Mayor, I'll second that.
All right, thank you. Are there any more? Is there any more discussion? Questions? Discussion? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And opposed, same sign. All right, motion carries. All right, and that is it for tonight. One thing that was brought to my attention, and I've already brought it to the attention of the directors, and that is the need to make sure that they have the reports in the agenda so that you have a chance to review them and an email or call if need be. So is there anything else before we go? If not, you all have a good night. We are adjourned.
Thank you.
Y'all, I was just looking for a clip.